Lord, open our hearts and minds that your word and Holy Spirit would dwell within us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is the third story of Jesus raising someone from the dead. The first one is Jairus' daughter. Jairus, the Pharisee and leader of the synagogue, his daughter is gravely ill, and ignoring what other people are going to say and think, Jairus runs from his home to where he has heard Jesus is and kneels before him and pleads with Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And Jesus says, sure thing, Jairus, no problem. And they're walking there and they get to the gate of the house and the servants come out and say, don't bother the teacher any longer, she's died. But that doesn't deter Jesus. He goes in and walks up to Jairus' daughter lying there on her deathbed and says, Talitha kumi, little girl, get up. And she returns to life. The second story of Jesus raising someone from the dead is the son of the widow of Nain. I don't know if there was only one widow in Nain, but we don't have her name, we don't have the son's name, we don't have anybody's names except the place where they were, Nain. And this woman has lost her husband, and now she's lost her only son. And as Jesus and his disciples are walking by, they are crossing the road, carrying her son to his grave. And Jesus stops them and raises him and returns him to life and to his mother. Now, Jairus' daughter had only been dead a few minutes. And the son of the widow of Nain had been dead a few hours. And then we get to the story of Lazarus. Word comes to Jesus that Lazarus is ill. Now, Jesus had been in Jerusalem not too much earlier, and it had not gone very well. People had been so angry with what Jesus was saying that they had taken up rocks to stone him. So, not a very favorable crowd, right? And Jesus is away with his disciples, and Mary and Martha send word to Jesus. I think it's important for us to get a sense of how close Jesus is to this family. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are not simply other disciples or other people who appreciate Jesus or who believe that he may be who he says he is. They are extremely close to Jesus. How close? They're so close that often Jesus shows up, 20 or so folks in tow, and goes, hey, Mary, Martha, how'd you like 20 guests for dinner? And they say, sure, Jesus, come on in. That kind of love, that kind of home. In many ways, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are as much family to Jesus as his own family. And the love is so great that when Mary and Martha send word that Lazarus is ill, they don't send word saying, Lazarus is ill. They say, he who you love is ill. And Jesus, after saying this doesn't lead to death but to God's glory, decides to not go. And John, in writing the gospel, goes out of his way to say why Jesus doesn't go. That it's not because Mary and Martha don't have enough faith. It's not because somehow they did something wrong. It's stated, though he loves Lazarus and Martha and her sister, he stayed. And 2 days later, he tells the disciples that they need to go back to Judea. And the disciples think this is a horrible idea. After all, what had just happened? They had been trying to stone Jesus. And he tells them that Lazarus has fallen asleep. They're confused. He explains it more fully, that Lazarus has died, and they are going. So now they're going, and this person isn't going to be healed from his illness. He's already died, but Jesus wants to go to him. And the one who speaks is Thomas. So often we think about Thomas the first week after Easter, that second Sunday of Easter. That's Doubting Thomas Sunday, right? Think about Thomas doubting. But here, it's Thomas who is bold in faith and commitment to Jesus. When he says, let us go with him, let us go with Jesus back to Judea, that we might die with him, because being with Jesus is worth anything, even being stoned to death by a crowd. And not only is he planning to do it himself, he's encouraging the rest of the disciples to come too. And so they go. And when they are getting close, word comes to Mary and Martha's house that Jesus is drawing near. And Martha gets up to go to Jesus. And Mary can't, because she is grieving so much. And most of the people who are there at the house stay there with Mary to support her. Martha goes out and stands before Jesus, and Martha is hurting. She had sent word to Jesus, and Jesus hadn't come, and her brother had died. And in the pain of her grief, she lashes out at Jesus. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus takes it in and waits. Doesn't say, who do you think you are? He doesn't belittle it and say, oh, it's nothing, don't worry about it. He just waits. And Martha comes back to herself and says, but even now, I know that the Lord will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus tells her that Lazarus will rise again. And Martha, who obviously went through confirmation, knows the right answer, right? I know that he will rise again on the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Now, Martha has known Jesus a long time. And she really does believe in him and believes that he is this great rabbi, a prophet, somebody that God has been using. But it's one thing to believe that, and an entirely different thing to believe that somebody is the embodiment of the resurrection, the one bringing the kingdom of God down into the world now, today, in himself. And Martha says, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. The presence of God breaking into our reality. And she runs back to the house and tells Mary, the teacher's calling for you. And Mary runs out. And the crowd who is there consoling her and supporting her, goes out with her because they want to be there, because they think she's going to the tomb to grieve and they want to support her in it. And when she doesn't turn aside to go to the tomb but keeps on going, they don't say, Mary, you missed the turn. They continue with her because they are there to support Mary and Martha in their grief. And when Mary sees Jesus, she collapses. She falls down on her knees at her feet. And did you notice that Mary says exactly the same words that Martha does? But when Mary says them, her heart is full of grief and sadness and pain and longing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then she's weeping so much she can't say anything else. And Jesus, trembling with emotion, says, "Where have you laid him?" And Mary can't answer because she's weeping so much. Instead, it's those who are there to support her who say, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus begins to weep. And this isn't just a single tear, oh, this is a moving moment kind of thing. Jesus is ugly crying here. Jesus is overcome with grief. So much so that on the outer rim of those people, those back rows can hear and see what Jesus is going through, and their immediate recognition is, see how he loved him. They can recognize from Jesus' grief the loss that he is experiencing. And I think it's important for us to stop for a second and think about this. Because Jesus already knew at least 2 days beforehand what he was going to do. He had already told the disciples 2 days ago that he was going to raise Lazarus. But he doesn't go and say, "Come on, Mary, it's going to be fine. I've got this all worked out." And I think sometimes we feel like if we had enough faith, then grief wouldn't really hit us. If we had enough faith, then we wouldn't really experience that kind of emotional pain, because after all, we know that Jesus gave his life on the cross to give us this amazing gift of God's forgiving grace, that Jesus rose again on Easter morning to open the way to eternal life, that we have that hope and that wonder before us, and somehow if we just had enough faith, then how would grief ever hit us? But that isn't what Jesus does. Jesus weeps with Mary because the grief is real. The pain is real, and Jesus is with her in it. They finally get to the tomb, and Jesus says, "Take away the stone." And I've got to imagine this is a pretty funny scene, because the crowd is looking on and they are looking at Martha, and she's going, "Let me handle this." And she goes to Jesus and says, "Lord," and really the King James is better here because the impact of it, "Lord, surely he stinketh." Right? Because it already smells like there is a raccoon on the end of July day that got hit at the end of your driveway and you have not managed to get that buried yet. And that's with the stone closing the tomb. And Jesus says, didn't I tell you that you would see the glory of God? And she motions to some of the guys, and somehow, I've got to imagine with one hand, because the other one they're going, they managed to get this stone pushed back. And after praying, Jesus calls out, Lazarus, come out! And it sounds like he's calling Lazarus just out of the tomb, but he's calling Lazarus out from death back to life, calling Lazarus from corruption back to wholeness, calling him from being lost and separated and away to reunited with his family, with his community. And Lazarus is transformed. Not just reanimated. Lazarus is transformed, made so strong and whole that though his feet and hands are bound, though his face is covered, he is strong enough to be able to walk out of the tomb. And Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. How easy it is for us to not recognize the loving presence of Christ with us. To think that somehow Christ isn't with us in those times of pain. That somehow Christ won't see us through to the other side. So easy for us to think that we don't really count after all. I mean, that was Lazarus, right? But think about it for a second. Jesus goes to face a slightly dangerous situation of some people who might be angry with him with some stones to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus went to the cross for the love of you. Jesus was willing to give his life on the cross that you might know God's forgiving love. That's the depth of Christ's love for you. That's the hope that Jesus offers to you and to me and to the whole world. That nothing, not our pain, not our grief, not our feeling lost and alone, not even death, can separate us from the forgiving love of Christ. Amen.